Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuvah, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
Okay, so my message today is about Jesus. And specifically about him being the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. He is the light of God. He empowers his followers to become children of the light. So today I want to share on that. I want to explain that. Jesus, the manifestation of the Most High God, his kingdom, his ways. In Jesus, there is illumination and revelation for each and every one of us. In him, there is light and life for living a meaningful and purposeful existence. Embracing him and his kingdom and his ways will bring the fullness of the blessings of God into your life. And yes, Elder Dennis and Randy and I, we always share our notes. It's just all connected by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So being a follower of Messiah and his ways, you and I are called to be lights in this dark and cruel world. In fact, you are the light of the world. We'll talk about this more later. You hold the keys to redemption and salvation. The whole world, whether it realizes it or not, is in need of you. The world needs you. It will stand or fall on how it responds to us. We are the light of God. So let's be that torch of God. And as we come into the new year, our civil year, let's commit to letting our light shine brighter than it's ever shown before. So I'm going to start with this idea of God as light. 1 Timothy 6:15, speaking of the Father, it says, "He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light." God dwells in a place of such immense light that no one can approach him. No human, no mortal can come into that light and live. It's too intense. God dwells in unapproachable light. It goes on to say, "Whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion." Amen. God dwells in unapproachable light. It's a part of his very essence. It emanates from him. Jesus is the light of God. Jesus, he is fully participating in the essence that we call God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit fully are one in that essence. So in a sense, Jesus, we could speak of Jesus as being the finite manifestation, the finite visible manifestation of the infinite invisible God. Remember when Jesus goes on the mountain and he transfigures himself, allows his disciples to see his divinity, his God nature, so bright they said it was brighter than the sun. They couldn't even look at him. Yes, God is light. He is life, and Jesus came to reveal the light of God to us. So in John 1:1, it says this. I'm going to read the first couple of verses. "In the beginning was the Word," a reference to the Messiah in Jewish literature. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. I was paraphrasing. He enlightens every man. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Jesus is the light of God coming to us from heaven, enlightening our hearts, illuminating our minds, bringing understanding to us, the world we live in, the plan of salvation. This is who Jesus is. He's the revealer. He's the one that comes to reveal the Father and the Father's plan for us, the Father's love for us, the Father's purpose to save us, redeem us, and restore us. This is who Jesus is. In John chapter 8, verses 12, moving towards Hanukkah, we've been talking about Hanukkah. These are the passages that precede his visit to Jerusalem during Hanukkah, the festival of light. John 8, 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, I am the light of the world. Light is a metaphor. He's not talking about literally being light. Primarily, it's light as a metaphor. He's saying, I am the light that shines in the darkness of this world, the chaos, the confusion, the lies, the deception. I'm the one that will bring truth. I'm the one that will disclose to you a way of life that will bring life itself and enhance life. This is an amazing symbol of who he is. I remember I had two dreams when I was a boy that changed my life. I was a young boy, probably about 7 years old when I had my first dream. And in my dreams, most of you know the dream, but for those that don't, in the dream I was just in darkness. And when I think of outer darkness, I was there. I was in this place of darkness that was so thick I couldn't even see the hand in front of my face. Just opaque darkness. I couldn't tell which way was up or down or east or west, north or south. I had no orientation to anything. There was nothing to have an orientation, but I felt myself free falling in the darkness. And in the darkness, I saw just a little bit of light. In fact, if you look at the things they have up over the windows, you see the light kind of piercing through around them. I don't know if you have certain angles, you could probably see that. Well, I saw like this door like that. You know, it was like the frame of a door because I could see the light around it. And I thought, there's light there. There's perspective there. There's something there. I'm in this place of nothingness. And I thought, I've got to get to the light. Now, in your dreams, you can do anything. So I swam. I think I did like the breaststroke, you know. Made my way to the light. I thought, I got to get to the light. That's all I could think of is, I've got to get to the light. And as I got there, I could faintly see the doorknob. So I reached out, and when I touched the doorknob, it turned by itself. I touched it. It turned and opened up, and this wave of light came bursting through and filled everything instantly all around me. Was light, it engulfed me. Again, so intense, I couldn't even see the hand in my face. There was so much light that there was just light. I knew immediately, innately, I knew in my spirit, it's God. I had encountered the living God, the Creator. You know, it was amazing. And I wept because that's all I could do. I could do nothing else but weep. I just instantly started weeping. And then I woke myself up. And I was crying. And all of a sudden, you know, the room's dark. And I'm thinking, it was a dream. You know, back in the darkness. But I thought, wow, I encountered God for the first time in my life. I had a personal encounter with God. Everything I knew about God was via my parents and the church we belonged to. I knew about God from other people. This was my first experience. It changed me. Deep down inside of me, I thought to myself, what an incredible experience. This encounter with the living God, that I know that even though it was a dream, somehow it was real. It was real. I knew God was real. It was amazing. Then years later, after that, I had another dream. Woke up and I saw like light in the room, like someone had put a spotlight through the room. It just hit one wall and went to the next wall, and then kind of disappeared. And then it came back, you know, and then it hit again. And I thought, what is going on? So I got out of bed, ran upstairs, and I ran outside. And when I went outside, the neighbors had come out, and everyone's pointing towards the eastern sky. So I turned around, and I'm looking to the eastern sky, and the clouds, through the clouds, there were these beams of light that were piercing through the clouds. It was just a cloudy eastern sky, but the light was so intense, it was piercing through, and it was just hitting everywhere and moving around the earth. And I knew immediately, everyone knew, we all knew. I mean, people are saying, Jesus, it's Jesus. You know, it's the return of the King. I knew that. And then I woke up. It was a dream. It wasn't really happening. But I thought to myself, what an amazing thing once again, you know, that God would give me a glimpse of the return of his Son. I was enthralled with that. That was an amazing thing. In both instances of my first encounters with the living God, they were encounters of light. That was fascinating that he came to me and appeared as light. And then I'm reading these passages later on in my life, and they're all making sense. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life itself. He says, you will not walk in darkness. What does that mean? He says, those who what? Follow me. Not those who believe in me. Those who follow me. You can believe in him and not follow him. And that light, intending to lead you and direct you, you will miss. And though you're born again, you will stumble in the darkness of sin and shame. That's not for you or me. That's not our legacy. That's not our heritage. We have to go beyond believing in Jesus. We have to get committed to following him. It's in the following that we get free and we begin to become victorious and become overcomers and influencers in the world that we live. That's our destiny. We must learn to follow. Faith alone is not enough. Faith alone, even the demons believe. The demons believe that Jesus is who he says he is. They confess that he is the Son of the living God, yet they tremble because they know they're not saved. That's why Paul says true faith always leads to obedience. Faith without works is the very revelation that that is no faith at all. It's a dead faith. It couldn't save anyone. True faith always leads us into obedience to Christ and his ways. If you're a believer but have no interest in following Jesus, I would question whether or not you're a believer. More importantly, you should question whether or not you're a believer. But I'll tell you what, when you're in love and you're full of faith and you say, yes, Jesus, man, there's a natural transformation by the Spirit of God that gives you a desire to walk in his ways. Therein lies the freedom. He says, I'm the light of life. I illuminate and explain the meaning and purpose of life. I've come to reveal who God is, who you are. This whole, you know, let me tell you, the world is so lost and confused because they've bought into so many lies that they don't even know who they are. They're just all mixed up and crazy and upside down. Then they create families and relationships that are upside down. They create governments that are upside down, educational systems that are all out of whack, economic systems that are oppressive, because they don't have any revelation. They have no light. They're just led around by the evil one who seeks to steal and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus reveals to us that we are the God imagers. We're made in his image. We're his representation on earth as he is in heaven. That he's called us to be a kingdom of priests. He teaches us how to create and build families. He gives us an understanding about marriage and sexuality, about how to raise children. He even informs us what our diets should be, so that we can escape most of the chronic illnesses related to poor diets that actually beleaguer us, harassing us for decades in our later years, sometimes taking our lives prematurely. He reveals to us how we're to treat the environment, how to safeguard ecology, how to create society and culture that's healthy and filled with blessings. He has a lot to say about economics. He told Moses, remind my people, I'm the one that gave them power to become wealthy. I'm the one that showed them how wealth operates and how to build true wealth. He's the one that creates and then commands us to respect national boundaries. He gives us the revelation of what it means to be a kingdom of priests. We call that ecclesiology. Through ecclesiology, we get an understanding of the covenants, the promise of redemption and restoration through Messiah, that he has chosen a people to save and then through them to save the nations, a revelation of the land that was given to his people, his kingdom, his glorious law, and how all of that comes into its fullness in and through his son, Yeshua the Messiah. It becomes very, very clear early in the scriptures and all the way through the book of Revelation that Israel is central to the plan of salvation. Central. You cut Israel out, your ideas about salvation and sanctification, it's just going to be all mixed up. He is the one who has come to illuminate and explain life in his fullness. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son. The Father has sent his son to reveal himself to us. Jesus is the revealer of God. John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, speaking of Yeshua's incarnation in terms of its fullness. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. When we hold on to our sin, we automatically distance ourselves from Jesus, because the darkness always fears the light. Sin is part of that darkness. Sin carries with it shame, guilt and shame. That's why we like the darkness when we're embracing sin, because we want to hide out. We want that shame hidden, that guilt hidden. We don't want Jesus, because what happens when we get Jesus? He brings all that to the light. Now, once you understand that he hasn't come to judge, but he's come to save, and that he's going to remove that sin and that guilt and that shame, then it's a lot easier coming to the light, isn't it? Unless, of course, you love the darkness. If you love your sin, you'll always hate the Son of Man. But when you come to the realization that that sin is a lie and is going to destroy you, you'll fall in love with the light. For everyone, verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. You can leave that up until we go to the next slide. Just leave these slides up back to back, if you will. Thank you. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Isn't that interesting? So true in every way. Verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. All sin is rooted in lies. That's why it's a deception. We sin because we buy into the lie. And that's how we get trapped in that. Those who love the truth, they always come to the light. Once you begin to say to yourself, Father, I want the truth about life, the truth about you, the truth about me, the truth about the world I live in. Once you and I are open to the truth, that's our path to the light. I love the light now. I say to God, shine the light on me. Let's make sure there's no darkness in me, Abba. Wherever there's darkness, give me power over it. Help me to drive it out. I want the light of life in me. I want the light of God in me. I want Messiah in me. So come and shine on me and cause me to reflect your glory in the world around me so that I can help others come out of the pain and misery of the lies of the evil one, of that sin and that shame that destroys us and people that we love that are related to us. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Because of the teachings of Messiah, as rooted in the Torah, we have perspective in life. See, my life now, it's so much clearer than it's ever been. I got born again when I was 18 years old. I began to devour the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the revelation that He gives us through His Word. And His Word speaks on all these different areas of life, instructing us, showing us how this whole thing works. Man, as I begin to implement all this data, all these ideas in my life in every different area, I begin to see blessing come in. Not overnight. It's like anything else. It takes time to mature. But I can tell you now, in almost every realm of my life, I am seeing blessing in because I have submitted every realm of my life to God's Word. It's all lining up with God's Word. That doesn't mean there's not disappointments. That doesn't mean there's not, you know, I sin along the way too. We are all sinners. But we're supposed to be sinning less and less as time goes on, right? Because we get the revelation of the truth. We start to figure out the schemes of the enemy. We no longer get seduced. We're able to say, I know all about that. That doesn't work anymore, right? I've got the light of God on that one. Yeah, so we grow in that and blessings come. And the favor of God comes. And in your life, my life, begins to be qualified by this peace and this joy of the kingdom. It's just amazing in every way. Matthew 5:14-15. Jesus makes these remarkable statements. He says, you are the light of the world. Never did anyone think in those terms. They thought, well, God's light. And now Jesus is claiming to be his son, the Messiah. And therefore taking those titles onto himself. He's the one who says he's the light of the world. The light that comes into the world and enlightens the hearts of every person. Now he's saying, actually, you're the light of the world. What a transition. I love Jesus. He's a giver. He's a giver. The Son of Man in Daniel chapter 7, he ascends to the Ancient of Days. He receives the kingdom, the power, and the glory from the Father. And then he takes that and comes and turns around and gives it to his people. It says, here's the kingdom. I just love that. What he receives from the Father, he turns and gives to us. How generous is that? How merciful is that? How loving is that? He says, you are the light of the world. You. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. We have the light of God. We have revelation of who he is and the world we live in. Jesus is instructing us through his word about all aspects of life so that you and I have that revelation in us, that understanding in us, by way of metaphor, that light in us. And then he says, share the light, share the revolution, share the truth with everyone who asks. In other words, let your light shine, let it out. Don't hold on to it. There's only one time you hold on to it. There's only one time if you're talking to a bunch of pigs. I don't talk to pigs. I talk to people. I don't talk to pigs. You know what a pig is? A pig is one of those animals that are a little bit perplexing because, well, they have a cloven hoof, which makes them clean, but they don't chew their cud, which makes them unclean. And so what does that tell us? The sages have pointed out what those animals represent is this. A cloven hoof is in reference to walking. It's what you walk on if you're a pig. And because it's divided, what it means is the pig discerns its ways, determines a life for itself, but not based on any revelation. Okay, because we're supposed to take and consume the word, right? But the pig doesn't consume the word, so the pig has no way to discern how to live other than on his own desires, according to his own ways. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. That revelation I've given you, those insights that I've given you, that wisdom, that knowledge, don't give it to those who live their lives on their own terms and are not interested in the truth. I don't do that. I wait for people to ask me questions. I wait for those that are inquisitive, those that are ready, those that are hungering for God, that are pursuing God. And then I'm like, yeah, you asked me, look, I got some answers. I don't know if they're all right, but some of what I got to tell you is going to be revelatory, right? And then you got to be careful only to give them as much as they're able and willing to take. You know, don't overwhelm them. You can't feed a baby, you know, the Thanksgiving turkey. Little bit of stuffing maybe, right? So you got to be careful and discerning on how you let your light shine. I had someone ask me this week, a person who loves the Lord and is open to the Lord. And so the person was asking me about Christmas and said, do you celebrate Christmas? And it was an honest question. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't an agenda there or whatever, you know. And I saw that as an opening to share. But I also knew this person was so new to anything related to this and somewhat fragile. I could give a certain amount of information that would be overwhelming and probably set them back. You know, probably just really, you know, cause a lot of like unnecessary pain in their life. So I sensed who this person was, where they're at, sensed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I was able to say, no, actually, I don't celebrate Christmas during this time of the year. I actually did that earlier in September. And I celebrated the birth of Jesus within the framework of his coming as a tabernacle among us. And there's a setting for that. It's very beautiful. I said, so we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We just do that at a different time of the year with different symbols. I said, a lot of people will decorate trees at this time of the year. We decorate sukkahs earlier in the fall. The person's like, what's that all about? That's so cool. You know, that's how it's supposed to work. Yeah. Supposed to be gentle as doves, wise as serpents. Very, very calculating and self-aware of where people are at, so that we're actually sharing truth in a way that actually leads them into it, not in a way that actually repels them from the truth. Truth, the naked truth, the raw truth, can be something that's very destructive in people's lives. We have to be careful with that. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Preach the gospel. And sometimes use words. Someone said that brilliant. I don't remember who said that. Preach the gospel and sometimes use words. In other words, letting your light shine has to do with also being kind with people, doing things for people, acts of mercy, acts of kindness, right? That's all about letting your light shine, letting the love of God come and touch people's life. Just that unconditional love where you minister to people and also share with your lips the word of God. Do it in a way that just glorifies God. Have fun doing it. Know that you're the light of God. So in conclusion, let me just make some concluding remarks and some application. Jesus is the light of God. He comes to illuminate, to open up our understanding concerning who God is, who we are, and God's ways. He is the very revelation of God. He says, I've come to reveal the invisible, infinite God of heaven, the creator of all things seen and unseen. I am God with you in a finite way that you can grasp and understand. He is the salvation of God. In the Hebraic model, salvation is when God comes down to man. In the Greek model, it's when man dies in a sense to God. It's completely the opposite. This is the love of God, that God came to us while we were in our sin and shame, not even looking for him. He loved us. He didn't have to come. He owed no one that. He came because he loved us. God has come to us through his Son, Jesus. It's his Son who reveals him. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. No one can know the Father except through the Son. It's how the Father chose to reveal himself. No one directly goes to the Father. Not even the Jews under the old covenant. They went through Moses, the forerunner of the Messiah. But people love darkness more than the light. I've thought a lot about this over the years, thinking, why aren't people just crashing into the kingdom? Why aren't people just rushing into the love of God? Why aren't people just grasping that which is true? It makes no sense. I'm thinking, what is going on? It's because people love darkness more than light. I don't know how that works. Is that not profoundly the very concept of evil? That even lost and miserable, they would rather embrace death than life? That's the very mystery of evil. They love darkness more than light. They'd rather live in the lies and illusions that they're familiar with rather than the surprises of truth, that which is genuine. Part of the reason is that they don't think in terms of the consequences of evil. And they don't think in terms of the age to come. They live for the here and now, not realizing that there is an age to come. And what they do here and now, what they choose to embrace here and now, will determine their course in the age to come. In some ways, they are happy in their misery. That's some weird smoke. I don't get it. It's probably because they're smoking. I don't know, but just a thought. As followers of Jesus, you and I are the light of the world. I want you to take that in and receive that by faith. You are the light of the world. Jesus in you is the light of God. You are the hope of the world. You are important. You matter. People will be saved or lost based on you letting your light shine or hiding it from those around you. We are here. Our mandate, our purpose is to reveal that which is true and genuine. That which the Father has shown you, the light that he's given you, your experiences, your stories, that's your light. You tell your stories. You know why Jesus was such a fascinating teacher? He was a storyteller. He was always telling stories. Many of them were made up stories, fictional stories. We call them parables. But they got the point across in a very dramatic and powerful way. Your story of how you were saved, how you came out of the darkness, that's your unique light. God allows you to have influence with people around you because they are the ones that will be changed by your light. Never take for granted those people that he allows you to cross paths with. You have the keys to life and happiness. You are the illuminated ones. The ones the Buddhas could only hope to be, you are in Messiah. You are the illuminated ones. You are the luminaries. You are the living Hanukkahs. The Hanukkahs we light, that's who we are. We are the lights of the world. Let's share the light of God. John 3:16 being that focal point that the light has come into the world to save us, not to judge us. It's the love of God to lead people into this saving, loving relationship through Jesus and the price he paid in dying for our sins. Let's share with them the stories of the kingdom, the power and the glory. The Torah is a way of life. The age to come that's going to be so remarkable. I mean, I don't even dwell on that. It's too much. I just watched Blue Planet. From the BBC network, you know, Planet Earth, and then they got the Blue Planet. I mean, just this creation made based on the fall. God knew we were going to fall, so he makes an imperfect world that has as one of its laws of physics, death. Everything's breaking down. Everything getting worse and worse. Because sin will be hemmed in and ultimately dealt with and eradicated by those very laws that he set up before we even fell. And there is even a glory in this good but imperfect world that he created. I watched Blue Planet. I drool. I get a cup and I drool. I think, unbelievable. I'm just looking at the intricacies and the refining of the world we live in, the balance, the everything. It's more than we can even comprehend. And that is nothing compared to the new creation that he's going to do, that you and I will live in, move in, and rule and reign in. This is the glory and the sizzle that we get to bring and share with a world that's hopeless, despondent, filled with pain. So I'm going to encourage you as we go into 2019, please pray daily. Recognize who you are daily. Devote yourself to Jesus and his glory. Become a devotee. Love him like you've never loved him before. Ask God, open up my heart gates. Expand my tent pegs. Give me a desire for your son that I've never had before. Just increase that. I want to share the light and love of your son with everyone around me. Give me opportunities, Lord, to share with words and deeds. Drop those in my heart. I may be led by the Spirit daily. I'm just going to let the Spirit of God lead me. I'm going to look for opportunities to love on people, to bring words of encouragement, words of hope, to bring the gospel, to bring truth in different areas. You know, there was times that Jesus healed people and didn't even tell them about the kingdom. He just said, okay, go your way. Sin no more. Because they weren't ready to hear about the kingdom. Sometimes you'll just share or do something or maybe help someone in the area of finances, and that's all you're going to be doing. But it's the seedbed that you're pouring into that years later they're going to give their life to the Lord. But you're going to help them as the Spirit of God leads you to help them with a little bit of light from some aspect of his word that they need and are ready for. So look for opportunities to share. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't judge people. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. Don't you judge. He came to save. Become a savior, not a judge, right? Let's be like him. Don't judge. Bear witness to the truth. Share the love of God. You are the light bearers. You are the light of the world. Now go look for opportunities to let your light shine. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. Ve'asemlecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov. Shabbat.